Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
All right. It's the post-game live stream. Welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot. This is your host, Darren Miller. I'm here with Vince LaRosa, and we will perhaps be joined by Travis Elwig soon, later. We don't know. He's at a wedding. We just witnessed an interesting game. We'll put it that way. Happy to be joined here by Vince to help us unpack it. I will say, Vince LaRosa has been firing on all cylinders way more than LAFC did this game. We're getting spoiled here. We're getting anatomy of a goal. We're getting previews. We're getting takeaways. We're getting MVPs coming back. This is great. This is great. Not a draw from Vince LaRosa.
you're digging deep, and I appreciate it. I have been putting out a lot of content.
I'm evaluating your performance instead of LAFC's.
Yeah, we're 100% sure that LAFC was in Colorado. We know they played a game. They tied, and that's about it. These are the things that we know. I mean, look. This is fun for you and I because we get to use our words and we can just say whatever we want. But I'm going to have to write about this, Darren. How am I going to write three takeaways about a 0-0 draw in which literally maybe Denny Bwanga missed a chance that maybe he should have scored and the Rapids took a lot of corner kicks? That's about it, right?
That was a lot of corner kicks.
A lot.
Almost impressive if I wasn't so frustrated. Yeah, that was it was a frustrating game to watch again, I will say, where it's, I think what is scary about this to me is it's starting to feel like a bit of a pattern in that it's not every game, but like, I remember at halftime being like, okay, well, we've been kind of a second half team. Maybe we'll pick it up. And it's like, well, it's not good to be a second half team in this high altitude.
Right.
They're just dogging it halfway through the second half. Yeah. So I don't know. We couldn't quite put anything together. It felt like maybe the first half was like a very thorough investigation of all of our options and then kind of stopped doing that, but didn't really take advantage of anything in the second half. I'm circling the meat of what actually happened here. But
no, I mean, that's what happened. I feel like what happened was they started out and they were passing the ball around, moving it around. Then they were like, you know what, Colorado's maybe not going to give us much. And then they were like, well, Colorado's not going to do much other than what's on the set piece. So, wait, we have a game on Wednesday. Maybe we don't have to care so much about this, but maybe we could steal it. Because, like, look, when Bwanga, in that last minute of the half, almost just decides to go on a walkabout and score a goal, you're thinking, oh, well, maybe our individual talent can win this game. And maybe this is the part of the trap game that we don't talk as much about, is you look ahead to another game. And yeah, you don't like trap game. The biggest thing is you don't want to lose that trap game, but maybe they're looking at this and saying, hey, well, if we can get out of this completely unscathed and we get a point, we don't lose a game, we're still undefeated, we'll go into Wednesday and we'll feel good. And everyone's, you know, Steve makes changes that he needs to make. Carlos Vela comes out. Giorgio Chiellini comes out. Mm-hmm. Everyone should be ready to go for Wednesday. So for all intents and purposes, this is a moral victory, I suppose you could say. But for us watching at home, we're like, not great.
Yeah, I have the standard no injuries for my happy foot on this one. But yeah, that's what I, was there a moment in the game where you felt like, okay, they're making that shift
to
where they're
like just turning it off.
Okay, let's just get out of this. Yeah.
It
felt like the whole second half was maybe like 10 minutes into the second half, they were like, fuck it.
Even before, I honestly think that when Bwanga just decided to go on his own, everyone was like, oh, that's cool. You can do that? That's rad. Go ahead and do that. Oh, maybe you'll save us like you did before. And then it didn't happen. And it was very cumbersome.
That almost happened right at the end too.
Yeah. And it was, again, like, they're like, maybe our individual talent is good enough. And it is at times. And that's kind of what great teams do. I always like to point to Real Madrid, who doesn't seem to have this like coherent, like super strategic tactical plan, but they just have the best players. And sometimes when you just have the best players, you can, as a coach, hey, why don't you guys go out there and try something? And at points they did. And at other points, the one thing that they did when they listened to their coach is like, just don't fuck anything up. And that's what they did. At least if Steve was like really looking back at this game going, where did they listen to me? Well, they didn't fuck anything up. That's great. But otherwise, it was very pedestrian of a performance. And just honestly, it's any other team, which I guess is when you're not considering a trap game. Because if you're playing against, let's say, a Seattle or a Minnesota or a better team, you're expecting them to give a little bit more. But Colorado's not great. They don't know much about themselves. They have a lot going on as well. I think that's where LAFC is like, well, let's just lean into it. We'll take the point. Colorado, you happy with it? We're happy with it. Let's all go. It's like, it just reminds me of the Simpsons when they're passing the ball back and forth. And it's just like, to Ronaldo, back to Ronaldo, to Ronaldo. And it's like, okay, we're good with this.
Man, yeah, it did feel like there's a bit of a gentleman's agreement going on.
Yeah, we'll take the point. We both get a point. We don't have to lose. Colorado can say, hey, LAFC is a pretty good team. We did pretty good against them at home. I guess I will say this, the one worry, I mean, my sad foot would be set pieces I'm worried about. I think just in general, and not just from this game. You and I talked about it. This is like 10, 11 corners, which is a lot of corners. But in other games, LAFC has seemed like the most that they give up to any one team is through set pieces. So you got to look at that two ways. You can stop giving up set pieces, which LAFC plays in a function in which they're either going to high press, and when they can't high press, they're going to drop back, and they're going to deal with teams, and they're going to absorb pressure, and sometimes you just run into fouls. Or you can be really good at defending set pieces. Unfortunately, I don't think LAFC is really good at set pieces as much as John McCarthy made some good saves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, set pieces are still hard to score from. This is not a recipe for success, especially in when we're going into the latter stages of a cup tournament. Set pieces will get much more important as we go farther into CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, that did seem concerning. And I that's also a good point about McCarthy. It was nice to see him feeling solid. That was maybe I wouldn't quite say happy foot, but consolation. But yeah, it was an interesting combination of them having so many set pieces that felt pretty precarious, like you're saying. And then on our set pieces, we were just kind of like, I don't know, let's just go for it. There's a lot of, but that was true off the set pieces too. It was true in general. I think one of our big problems was just that I guess that's the double-edged sword of people of the individual talent trying to take over. It's just like, there's a lot of just pulling the trigger. There wasn't a lot of like establishing a rhythm and a shape and, you know, getting a play through. We had a few, maybe 30th minute ish. There were a few plays that were like, oh, we're finding something here. There were like two give and goes with Vela in a row that almost resulted in goals. And it's like, okay, we're figuring out a way to just like, this is a path we can keep exploiting. And then that was kind of it.
early on, I actually wrote
felt
this.
Like a lot of people trying to do it all at once.
Yeah, I wrote it in my notes early on. I was actually very happy because I didn't think Carlos had his best game the previous game. And then this game in the first couple minutes, and you're pointing to those exact two sequences, Carlos laid it off and then ran 30 yards to like really burst forward to get on the head of a ball. He couldn't quite get there. And then about a couple minutes later, he actually did head a ball. That was a very good save by Yarborough. And those are moments where a lot of people have criticized the team where they're like, you don't have a true number nine. And on the flip side, said, look, Carlos knows when he can get into those spaces. And you saw him get into those spaces. And I thought that was really encouraging, and that's a good sign for things going forward. But then it stopped, and it goes right back to what we were talking about at the beginning. At about 45 minutes or halftime, it was like the team was like, you know, I'm a little tired, a little gassed. We're going to play on Wednesday. Maybe we just see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, that was a frustration of mine too. I don't know whether you would know better than I would. I don't know whether Vela's just constantly double teamed or what, but it feels like I'm always finding myself being like, why aren't we finding him? It just feels like he can create goals so well. He can create plays and we're just not finding him. Those couple of instances we did, and then the rest of the game until he came out, it was just like he was nowhere.
I've criticized.
I don't know how
team.
Many. I should have kept better track. But I don't know how many times we went for that. I don't know how many times we passed to him. But
they talked about it a little bit on the broadcast, and I thought Heath Pierce and Mark Rogondino were good about this. Was in both teams were kind of like this, where they were just playing direct. They were like, "Let's see if we can get one pass, and then that guy scores." And if you think about it, if that's going to happen, that's going to be somebody like Mahala. That's going to be somebody like Bawanga. So to your point about not finding Carlos, and I've actually talked about this with the team, it's felt like they've tried to go one pass and goal too often. And that is a function of the team. Like Steve says to them, look, if there's space in behind, and when they were the most dangerous, it was when they found space in behind the Colorado backline. But there's almost like you go too much to the well. They just kept going too much to the well. And then to your point, it kind of cancels out one of your best players, because Carlos is going to not do that. He's going to show defeat. So as you're going over his head, he's probably wondering, hey guys, may you pass to me? I can turn and do some things. So I think they do need to find a way and find a rhythm. And I think that's probably at the end of the day, our biggest point in all of this, like what we're circling around for all this, is there was no rhythm, really no rhythm, no like rhyme or reason to LAFC. It was just like, get the ball, see if you can get it forward, see if you can get a chance, but we're not going to work it together. We're just trying to play hero ball here. It's that basketball equivalent of like, get it to the guy, let him make it.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, I was just going to say, at one point, I was just like, it makes us run too much, too. Like, it felt like basketball at one point. We were just going all the way up, all the way back, all the way up, because you leave the back door open, too. Because everyone, you don't get a chance to establish yourself and the whole team. So now it's just like, fire away, and then they get the ball back, and then it's like, oh, we better get back. And, oh, corner kick, okay. And then, it did feel like a basketball game at one point, for sure.
Yeah, and at altitude.
That was crazy. Yeah.
How long can you do that for?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. This was the game where they needed to kind of. They could have. You would think with this matchup, they could have just put the game away in the first 15 minutes and then called it a day.
Right. But
yeah. That did not happen. Yeah. AO in the comments says, take the point and run away, far away. That's fair.
To be fair, it hasn't been.
It does feel a little, I was going to say, it's feeling familiar, this feeling of like.
Well, there's been no draws between these two teams. There's been a winner. And then the home team has won 7 of 8. LAFC has the only win away from home, which was back in 2018. So in some ways, to AO's credit, like, I mean, if you've not been playing well in a place like that, and of course, coming up on a big run of a lot of games, maybe you just take it. Maybe you say, okay, that's not too bad. There's no glaring problems with the team. We feel pretty good going into the rest of what we have coming ahead, which is midweek, going to Vancouver, which, by the way, is another place LAFC does not play very well. And then you're back at home against Austin, which is a league game, but we hate Austin, right? Like, they're like this new growing rivalry. We want to beat them.
I'm getting tired of games that are like, there's just no easy wins. And we're at the top of the league. There should be some.
Right. The good news is St. Louis lost, although Seattle won. But by winning, they had to beat the Galaxy.
I missed that. I was wondering that.
Yeah, Seattle ended up winning 2-1. St. Louis ended up losing. So at this point, I guess that means Seattle is on. Are they on? They're, I guess they're 1 point behind. We were both even going into this.
You know, our audience, when you run the numbers, they're all really good at math. They can figure it out.
Because you and I, we're the writer creative types. Strong suit. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys just like it, either look it up or just like do the addition subtraction that we can't, you know?
Also, I'll tell you this much, audience. It'll be the same tomorrow as it is when we got it wrong today. So just lay off us. It'll be the same tomorrow. It won't change.
Yeah. It's fine.
Well, for everyone that's wondering why Darren and I are like trying to struggle through this a little bit, we were really counting on Travis to just come in here and just be horribly drunk and like halfway doing karaoke to shout because he's like at a wedding and just telling us like, I watched the game on my phone. I was even planning on watching the game at a wedding, which, by the way, rude.
I doubt he was going to watch the game. He texted in like, how's it going? So I don't know whether he was planning on coming here and pretending he was watching the game or what,
just vibes.
It wasn't going to happen. I've got maybe an unnecessary specific gripe that I can get off my chest as well. I'm starting to get a little tired of Palacios just kind of heaving it over the net. He's becoming like a reliable field goal kicker. Is that fair to say? Is that an unfair criticism?
Are you sure you don't have the wrong frequently? Ecuadorian, because I feel like that's a Sifu problem.
Oh, maybe. I would think that. Palacios did it at least twice this game, I think.
No, I think he did do it twice this game. He's not a shooter. So look, if the ball is landing on his foot and you're relying on him to finish a goal for you, I think he has one goal for LAFC in all the years he's played with us. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I would say that maybe one thing you could point to is, although we have scored a decent amount of goals, not to where you'd be worried, there has been a lack of sharpness in some areas and some times when you really kind of needed a goal. And that's just something that sometimes comes with games and seasoning. But yeah, there's some guys that, Darren, let me put it this way. There's a lot of people that tell me like after games, they're like, well, why don't they shoot more from farther? And then I point to somebody like, Cheeky Palacios,
oh, really?
putting it over the net. I go, do you really want them to? And also, it's not high percentage. Like, it's actually shooting from farther. One is not high percentage, and two, actually, the percentage of the trade off of how likely you are to score and how likely if you take that the other team to score is usually not in your favor. So it's not good. And don't get me wrong, a lot of people say LAFC likes to walk it into the net. No, they just like to get the highest percentage shot, but.
Yeah.
Shooting from farther is not the answer.
Yeah, I'm also, that's kind of a pet peeve of mine in general. I'm going to be curmudgeonly about that and be more sensitive to it than most people when I see it. Like, anytime I ever see someone shooting from that far out, I'm just like, what? Why? You just ruined the whole play. So yeah, I just never see the value in it. And then, look, you know, every now and again, one person scores and it's like, it justifies it. It's like, yeah, but you
go crazy. Yeah, look for fans. It's a highlight. You go nuts. Yeah. You walk home from the stadium and go like, oh, that was incredible when he shot it from 25 yards out. But the likelihood that it will actually go in is very low.
Yeah. You made a good point earlier about subs. Felt like we did get a chance to rest guys well enough. Guys got chances. I was hoping when Buke came in, he would. The subs that came in seemed. I was very optimistic that they were like, well, they've got energy. This is like, those are the good fresh legs that you might want in a situation like this. But they were quickly just as tired as everybody else. It seemed like there were a few moments where Buke tried to get into the mix, but maybe it was just too little, too late.
Yeah, both teams just tried to go front to back too easy, which basically is like you take it from the back line, you huff it forward. And the other team has an advantage in that, right? Because usually you have less people forward. The other team has more people back. You're just trying to go maybe 2v1 or get into situations. And you're right. It almost made them look more tired than they were because they're just, it's like your head's on a swivel. It's like here and then it's there and it's there. And what can you really do? So yeah, they got moved into a game where there was no rhythm. And for them to maybe wrestle that game, you're asking a lot of guys, even if they are very talented, like Buke and Jose Cifuentes.
Yeah, I can say that Travis and I made bets going into this game that, of course, neither hit. Nope. My bet was that both Acostas would score.
Yeah, both played.
Not happening.
We did not see Nikola Jokic at all. I doubt he was there. You know what he should have bet, in which there's no way to find out? If Nikola Jokic knows who the Rapids are, right? Like,
that's funny.
Actually knows who they are.
Any comment about the Rapids throughout the season?
Yeah. He's like, hey, you know, I'd love to check out a Rapids game.
I think the trouble might have... Whoa. Yeah. I wonder if there's the same sort of, like, they're trying to foster this relationship between players and different teams and LAFC here in LA. I wonder... if anything like that even remotely exists in other cities.
I'm sure they try.
They do a really good job of that here.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, Dick's Sporting Goods Park is. I mean, it's once you get outside of Denver proper, it's like a wasteland. And so it's interesting to be there at Dick's Sporting Goods Park because it's just flat land and nothing around there. So it wouldn't surprise me if no one else knows outside of Denver proper that it exists.
Yeah, why would you? Yeah, that makes sense. I interviewed Mitchell Carroll, who hosts the DNVR Rapids podcast, for the preview episode. If you are listening and haven't listened to that, feel free to check it out. But he had a lot to say about the stadium being not quite ideal, some of which I had to cut just for time because he went a little bit into more detail. But yeah, I haven't been there, and I was paying extra attention because of my conversation with him when I was watching today about what the vibe was like there. And it really felt like college vibes. It was like, oh, you're in some kind of like remote campus, and this is going to open out onto the quad.
It didn't seem
great.
I was there in 2021 when LAFC lost that last game of the season where maybe they could have gotten the playoffs and Colorado actually took the top spot in the West. And I hadn't been to Denver probably in like 7 or 8 years. And I will say that Denver has like grown since. So give it another 10, 15 years and maybe the city will have grown out so much that the stadium is actually encompassing the city. I don't know. But I agree with him. It's a weird spot. It's a tough spot.
Yeah. It's not unique to Colorado. There's plenty of stadiums with that problem in the MLS, yes, for sure.
Galaxy.
Until we came around, yeah, Carson. There's some more comments here. Mario says, I know elevation is hard for players not used to it physically. How does it affect the ball? Does the ball behave differently?
I mean, the ball kind of moves at a different pace, but is it actually perceptible to you in real time? I don't know. We'd have to ask, but I guess a scientist would say yes.
They did make a comment about that on the broadcast.
They did.
Well,
And I honestly was like, okay, Neil deGrasse Tyson, let's calm down here.
No, Neil deGrasse Tyson comes in and goes, actually, it doesn't.
Yeah, the ball,
it's fine.
The curvature of the earth, it would revert to, okay, calm down. Explain that to Carlos.
It's actually the human eye that's perceiving it as a totally different speed.
Yeah, if you're watching in 4K, you'll never.
It's actually the resolution that you're noticing. Ilias American Now, give that man some apple pie. Yeah, that should be a happy foot. That's a happy foot. We'll extend it to the whole week. We'll say that's our happy foot. I was actually thinking about Ilya in general. He doesn't get talked about enough. He's like by default just unsung hero. He's just always in the background making things happen. I don't want to assume that he did that again today, but yeah, I don't know. I just want to give him some props.
Yeah, he's a safety valve.
He doesn't get it enough.
He's a linchpin. He's a safety valve in a lot of ways. He's behind the play. You almost don't see him off screen, but whatever he's doing off screen is important to what's going on. I will say this, I got to be there for media day ahead of when they were leaving, and Ilias Sanchez, very happy to be an American citizen and very humble as he always is speaking about
it. Awesome.
It was a very big moment to him, and it was very cool. Look, we think about these guys and they do incredible things, and that's why we love them, but they are human beings, and there is something cool about a guy that's able to be very human and personal in that moment. And Ilya Sanchez is top of that list. So for him to kind of pull back the curtain and really share with us and be vulnerable, it meant a lot to him. And I know everyone's mind goes directly to, oh, could he play for the national team? He would love to. I'm sure he would. And he would take that call in a minute because he has appreciated everything since, like he said to us, the moment he got here, he was treated in a way that made him realize it's a special place here in America, and he was happy to be here. So I'm sure he would, but more so, it's just, if this is something he wanted and it was a 5-year journey for him, that's awesome. Like, that's just so cool. Like, it doesn't even matter about national teams and playing it. It's just like, that's what he wanted. It's cool. He's an American citizen. He wanted to feel a part of something. And I think that to him was more important than any kind of, you know, designation for national teams. It was about being a part of something that he felt welcomed into the second he touched down from the plane.
Yeah. That is very cool. I think that also points to, like, long term. It's easy to get frustrated with these individual games, but between last week with Bouanga's flight across the earth to get back and be with the team, and this, like, we are only getting very positive signs that guys are, like, at home with the team and feeling good about the future. And I mean, we haven't been here that long. Thinking long term is a good thing. This mm-hmm. is these are very good signs. So, yeah, that is great. I'm looking at more comments here. It says, happy foot, still haven't lost. Sad foot, Travis's prediction cursed. This is all Travis's fault. I think you're referring, AO, I think you're referring to the storyline segment where Travis seems to, I think anytime Travis is optimistic, it does not go well. But by default, he's not optimistic. So I think the goal is always to find a way to be optimistic, and then it never works out, which ultimately is very fun, I think. Let's see. Happy Foot got a point, and the team is building nicely. Sad Foot, so many missed opportunities. Yeah. Yeah, that sums it up well. It's an interesting missed up. Like, I almost wish there were more missed opportunities. There were, I would say, last couple of games, the frustration was like, we just seemed so close. We kept getting shots and nothing fell. And I would rather have that frustration than this sort of lukewarm kind of.
Oddly, I feel like, yeah, the Seattle game actually had more opportunities, although it felt like less clear. Like in the last two games, there hasn't been as many, I guess, what we would call bona fide, like clear cut big opportunities. So that could be a little bit of a worry. Like they're taking shots, but they're not big opportunities. So I would, that's something to keep an eye on. Are we sputtering a little bit to create big opportunities, and are we relying too much on individual brilliance of Bouanga doing something incredible, as opposed to, you know, look, we'll harp back to what I said. You know, a lot of people complain LAFC wants to walk it into the net, but you get chances from 6-10 yards out. Those are high chances. Those are the highest likelihood. That's those chances you want. And I don't think we've seen a lot of those since the Seattle game.
I love seeing goals getting walked into the net. That's always when I'm like, oh yeah, that must have been a really smart play that they were able to walk it into the net. I mean, that's a sign mm-hmm. of the return you get for the work you put into getting there.
Right.
Yeah. So let's see. I know Vince doesn't like the term, but was this a trap game?
No. I mean, it's not the best game, but we were able to get out of it. The only reason I don't love the term is, as I pointed to in my piece, was it's like, the players will never admit to it. So if they don't believe in it, then how can it be? I think it's interesting. Trap games are all for us watching it. We're the ones that talk about those things. So I will let the trap game live on in lore of the fans watching it. But players, they really don't. I'm being dead honest with you. I went to Steve Trundle and I said, so how do you feel about the concept of a trap game? He goes, what's that? I'm like, a trap game. Yeah, I heard you. What is that? And I explained it to him. I go, what, have you been Germany too long? You know what a trap game is. And I thought he was joking with me. He goes, no, literally explain it to me. I go, well, when you have other games and you're the better team, you look ahead of me. He goes, oh, yeah, I get that concept, but trap game, never heard it. So there you go.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's almost like we're trying to approach the game as fans and as media. And it's almost like for ourselves to be like, let's not be too overconfident about how, I mean, that was the two sides of the equation that Travis was approaching in our mm-hmm. preview episode of like overconfidence, and also this overconfidence might bite me in the ass. Like, it's almost for our own sake to not go too far with like how easy this game is going to be, because I mean, we look like idiots.
Mm-hmm. But the team is never overconfident.
I don't know if the players are doing anything like that at all.
No, I don't think they're I don't think they're ever walking around going, guys, Colorado this week, wink, wink, we got this. I don't think they ever do that. So I think that's where the two paths diverge. Like, I think we look at it and go, like, that should be an easy win. We're connecting the dots. There's no way players just go, guys, this week, got this. We got this. I think they go into every game, and I think they, at least the good teams, the smart teams, respect opponents to a certain level of knowing, yes, are we a better team? Of course. Can they beat us, though? Of course. Like, they see both sides of the coin.
That makes sense. I have no reason to doubt that. I will say, just a potential counterpoint to that is, could you characterize the fact that they were kind of going for it all at once as like shortcuts that they thought they might be able to take given the matchup, and that it was a little like naive to be like,
maybe, oh, we but didn't have you think
to
that
do the extra work of putting plays together?
Fair, but didn't you think also, they played?
Like, it's not like they're that conscious of it on the field.
True. Yeah, they're always just looking for advantages, right? So if they see space, but my counterpoint would be, didn't you feel like in some ways they played like that against Dallas for long periods of time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's hard to say.
I think you're right.
It's a team issue, not a game issue. Yeah, I always like to say we only know what we know. We can surmise this, and this I try to do this in my writing too. I could make a lot of generalized assumptions that I think are true, but does that help you as my public that wants to read what I write? Like, if I'm just making it up, then what's the point? Like, I'm trying to give you the things of the way they think and the things of the way they do. So, I do think that there is a modicum of players that go like, we should win this game. There's no reason we shouldn't. But most professionals should get through a game knowing if I don't do the things I have to do, any team in this league can beat us. And that's the beauty of this sport. So I think that that's important to consider as well.
Executing the game plan is enough to worry about, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like they don't have to play mind games with themselves or the other team or anything. They got to go out there and perform. It makes sense. So we're looking ahead to next game. We do have some rested guys. It's not going to be that terrible. We do have the happy foot of no injuries. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't look too bad. We're still technically undefeated. So I think we can remain cautiously optimistic moving forward as well. I did have one thought. We're talking back about it being potentially a trap game. Right before the game started, this thought just popped into my head when they were warming up and I was looking at the Colorado lineup and I was like, you know, there's a good chance that like Colorado wasn't supposed to be this bad at the beginning of the season. Like there's a good chance that they just had a shitty first few games and the story of this season ends in a way better place. And this is just the game where that starts. Like they could still end up being a solid team at the end of this season. Because they're in such a weird place. I mean, I guess with the Jack Price injury, that's probably not going to happen. But I'll give them some credit for this game. Like it wasn't all LAFC not finding a way to put the nail in the coffin. They played pretty well. It seemed like they held their own.
It didn't feel like we were playing
a shitty team.
Yeah, no, I've seen much worse teams in this league throughout the years, and Colorado is not as horrible as people want to make it out to be. It's early in the season. They've brought in a lot of players, and it takes time to integrate players. I also feel like they're changing their system a little bit, which also takes time. So you have those two things coming together. I agree with you. They could end up being a very good team, and this could have very well been the game, the catalyst, and it still could be. To get a 0-0 draw against LAFC, you're always going to go, well, we went toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the league. Well, how can we build off that? But yes, I've seen worse teams. So yes, take from this a point and be kind of not excited, but be content with it, because this is we're not talking about an absolute garbage team that you should just steamroll.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right. Thank you everyone for joining us and sticking with us in the chat here. Thank you, Vince, so much. It's always such a pleasure to have you here. Tell everybody where they can find everything coming out from you this week and beyond.
It's vincelarosa.substack.com. You can go there, you can subscribe, and everything that I write will go right to your email. So you don't even have to continue to go back to that URL. Just go to it once. Or you can follow me at Vince LaRose. That's on Instagram as well as on Twitter. And I want to thank you, Darren, for being here, but not Travis, because he was not here.
Everyone harass Travis. You can do it through the Happy Foot, Sad Foot social accounts. I'll make sure that he sees it. Just give him hell for not, you know, interrupting a friend's wedding to join a post-game live stream for his favorite soccer club.
Priorities.
Would have been truly insane if he had joined.
But maybe on brand.
There was a version of that where he would have just like ruined a wedding, but it's all good.
Honestly thought he was going to join with the microphone in hand, giving like a speech and being like, everybody, I would like you to meet the Happy Foot, Sad Foot podcast. And he was just going to do the whole thing for us there.
Oh my God. It would have been incredible. We got to get him to another wedding so we can try again.
Yeah, someone else get married. Let us know.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. We will have a recorded version of this out shortly and a preview episode out next week. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social. Do whatever you can. And keep looking forward to the next game. We'll see you soon. Take care, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.